Welcome to You Down, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
I think anytime you grow up with somebody and they've seen how hard you work to get there, it makes it all that much more like just gratifying when you were all sitting at the Grammys together. We're like, hey!
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to
You Down,
a podcast where four funny honeys come together and talk about what's going on in the culture. I'm Shakira Janae Pay.
I'm Mami Ya Aforo.
I'm Yasmin Monet Watkins.
And I'm Ashley Holston.
But together we are known as Obama's Other Daughters.
That's us.
Obama's Other Daughter. The Obama's Other Daughters.
I'm doing Baltimore Club dancing.
Like, oh, were you?
Was it Baltimore? I thought it was country. Oh, I thought it was country. Like, rah, 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 rah.
No, I definitely heard. I definitely heard that.
I heard Oakland.
Right? I was
I heard what I wanted to hear.
I'll take all of it. Thank you.
Today, we are asking, are you down with Taylor Parks? Taylor Parks is a three-time Grammy Award-nominated artist, singer, songwriter, and boundary breaker, creating a space for her listeners to come as they are.
Ow.
From being showcased on Forbes 30 Under 30 to her bop of a sophomore album, Coping Mechanisms, we think Taylor is a dope young Black artist that everyone should be listening to. And the way her hits are set up, you probably already are. But before we chat with Taylor, y'all know we gotta check in with each other. So what are y'all loving and what are y'all hating? I'm gonna go first, y'all. You know what I'm hating? I'm hating the sensitivity of our eardrums. Okay.
What happened?
I bought a school bus that I am going to convert into a tiny home and travel the country in.
Yes.
And you got to break it apart. Demolition, right?
Oh.
And it's a lot of angle grinding, a lot of metal on metal. And I didn't wear my ear protection.
Oh, no.
And I should have. I thought about it, but I was being lazy because my ear protection was in the house. And I was like, I'm already here. Let's just keep this going. And I still hear ringing in my ears.
No.
It's been a full day. I feel like my ears need to pop or something. Got a little bit of a headache. So if y'all ever are around some loud noise, protect your ears. They're sensitive.
Because you don't know until after the fact.
Did not notice at all until I was like, I felt like a weirdo. I was like, what?
Well, what I'm loving this week, self-care is so important. And it's been a really tough time for the family. For those who aren't aware, my father passed away. And we've been cleaning his place and going through all of the old memories and all of that really good stuff. And it can be heavy. And my sister came to town to bury him and all of that. And in the midst of it, we literally were like, let's just go to Palm Springs for the day and like be in nature for a second and get a massage in an open space because COVID, with our masks on, and just take some time to pamper ourselves and relax. And we had the best day. And I feel like, you know, you can get so go, 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 but it's also okay to like just take a second to be like, oh, wait, I need to breathe for a moment. So I really loved the sister trip that my sister and I took.
Time with your sister is so important. It really is, especially now that Jade has kids.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really get that sister-sister time.
At all, especially sister-sister time with drinks.
Mm-hmm. Adult sister-sister time literally is a whole different thing.
I'm jealous you guys have sisters.
I mean, brothers are great too. They fun. They rowdy. Shakira, what's on your mind this week? What you loving? What you hating?
I have a bunch of loves, but then I also have a hate. But I was like, oh, is this an overshare? But I'll just share it.
Oh, we love when Kira says, is this an overshare?
Because it's always good.
No, it's not even like juicy, but it is like, I think y'all notice I'm dealing with this IRS stuff. And I had to call the IRS and I sent in, I just hate them. I hate them so much. Like, they causing me so much stress. Like, literally my tax guy was like, when you call, add me on the call. So I'm on hold. I told this man I'm gonna call him at 9. I was on hold until 11:38.
Oh, no.
They just be playing games with you, hoping you hang up.
Right?
So I'm messaging him. He's like, I try to add him to the call. He's doing something else now. So now I'm on the call with the man trying to figure out the right words. I'm reading his emails. Well, sir.
Oh, you like a lawyer trying to argue your own case.
I'm trying to argue my own case. I'm trying to reword what he told me in the email that he was going to say to the guy. And then the guy is just like, well, I'm not the guy who actually did your audit. So let me just send him
Why
email.
Did you answer
and
that?
And I'm like, so y'all kept me on hold for all this time? You know what I mean? Like, that's how you feel. But then you're also like, I can't control anything in this situation. I have to be calm. I can't be stressed about it. I can't.
Like, they know that you need to talk to the guy. So you're going to stay on the phone for 2 hours. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I imagine they don't be doing shit either.
Right.
I imagine they just be like by the phone having a coffee or a cake party or some shit.
A cake party.
I had to recover. Because what is a coffee party?
I would love to see that.
And the phone is just blowing up.
Right?
Should we get it next year?
But also, can you leave Shakira alone and deal with somebody else? Like, what the heck? You know what I mean? Like, let her live.
I'm like, Trump pay what in taxes?
Thank you.
Y'all coming for me?
Hold up, mommy. Are you talking a big game? You don't want to get on the radar.
I know,
you don't want them to come down.
I'm like, the opinions on this podcast are truly Shakira's only. Don't come for us.
I love the IRS.
Some of my best friends are in the IRS.
We freaking
enjoy your cake.
Right. Oh, mommy, what about you?
Honestly, this is not completely relevant, but maybe it... No, it's totally relevant. I really am loving the fact that our vice president, Kamala Harris, used to date Montel Williams, and she thought that was it for her at one moment. I'm loving it this week, guys.
Because they broke them up.
his glasses. I'm just kidding. I mean, they were a hot little couple in 2000, and she thought probably, oh my God, power couple, look at us.
Right? Oh my God.
Little did she know.
Could you imagine if Montel was the first husband VP? What do you call
my God. The first.
The first man.
Because they call the first lady
first.
Second man. Yeah. The second man.
Oh, I don't want to be the second man. Or even the second lady. Ew.
But I'm just trying to picture him. This is how we do it. We're in the White House.
Wait, not him. Him?
Montel Jordan, didn't he sing that song?
Whoa. Got to take it back.
Montel Williams.
I got to take it back because I'm not saying that.
I thought you said
that was Montel Williams. Did I say Montel Williams?
Montel Jordan. We were like.
I was like, wait. Montel Jordan from The Fighting Temptations?
Right? Exactly. God, this whole time I thought it was Montel Jordan.
No. Williams from the talk show.
Oh.
Bald head.
Yeah.
The Black Mr. Clean.
One of the most famous black bald heads, I would say.
Yeah.
First one I ever saw.
And he's from Baltimore, Maryland, just in case anybody wanted to know.
Be more
stand up.
All right, y'all. I'm ready to get into the main topic this week, which is Grammy-winning artist and songwriter Taylor Parks. And here to chat with us about Taylor Parks is Taylor Parks.
What?
But first, we gonna take a break.
Welcome back. Today we are talking to singer, songwriter, actress, and hit maker Taylor Parks.
Hey guys.
Literal hit maker. Taylor has co-written all your favorite songs, hits like Ariana Grande's Thank You Next, Panic at the Disco's High Hopes, as well as 4 tracks on Janelle Monáe's Dirty Computer. Mm-hmm, I can't even, I like that. Pink, don't judge me. We carry on. She reimagines genre, gender, and what popular music sounds like. Her sophomore album, Coping Mechanisms, dropped in November and is available for you to listen to right meow. So get on that after you listen to the podcast, of course. Her music has really defined different parts of my life experience, and I'm just so hella grateful that she's here. We think Taylor is a dope young black artist that everyone should know. Welcome, Taylor.
Yay.
Hey, hey, hey. What's up, y'all?
We can't wait to dive into your album Coping Mechanisms, but can we take a moment to just acknowledge how damn poppin' you are?
It's kind of surreal. Like, for those of you who are just starting to follow Taylor's career, or if you have been following it, the connection that I made in doing stalker type research about you was that you played one of my favorite characters in a movie of all time in Little Inez in Hairspray. Girl, you were flipping and a dancing and a singing like a little queen. So
a tiny tot, you know what I mean? I was a tiny tot out here doing my thing, just happy I could like sing. I was like, I get to sing and do my little dancing thing and acting. Wow. I'll be there.
You were singing. You weren't singing. Mm-hmm. You were singing.
Thank you.
But I know you started out as a dancer with Debbie Allen, who's a part of the Shondaland family and a place in our hearts, of course. So can you talk a little bit about how you became a dancer and how that transitioned into the next phase of your career?
It was a very, very interesting thing. Growing up, I had two left feet. I felt like I did anyway, you know what I mean? And then I grew up with this girl, Chelsea, who was going to class at Debbie Allen Dance Academy. I'm from Texas originally, and she had a dance school out there. And next thing you know, I'm doing the summer intensive, and she's asking, do people sing? Because at the time, she was doing Dancing in the Wings, and, you know, that's when I first started to find out about the Chocolate Nutcracker and all of these things that will follow in the years. So she introduced me to the world of dancing and acting, actually. And I was obviously just really blessed to be around a lot of really incredible people, but also she was one of my first real mentors. Wow. And I was lucky, you know, to have somebody who was so tough.
Yeah, I just finished watching the documentary. I was like, woo, Debbie Allen gonna get you into
She's
shape.
She is indeed.
So wait, how did you go from jumping from being a child actor to being a hit maker? What drew you to focus on music, songwriting? What was that process like for you?
It's definitely been interesting. I think the more I learned about it, because growing up, I didn't know. Like when I first met Debbie, I didn't know that songwriters existed. I just knew that I liked to sing and I liked music and I liked, you know, everything that involved it. And so then growing up, you just learn and you become a fan of your craft. So in music, I'm like, I got to know everything about it. There's producers, there's A&Rs, there's publishers, there's all of these things. And I got to a point where I'd been doing all of this on-screen stuff, like from the Nickelodeon and did Bones and Gilmore Girls. And I was like, I just want to be behind the scenes for a little bit so that I can find my real voice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? As an actress, you're always being molded into something. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't just be like, I just want to have green hair, which is eventually what I did. But I couldn't do that while being on screen and playing the type of roles that I played. So eventually I just woke up one day and was like, I want to do voiceover acting because it really isn't about how you look or anything like that. And I get to, it also gives me the flexibility to work on my craft as a songwriter.
Nice. So as a certified hit maker, what's the number one key ingredient for a good song?
The number one key ingredient would have to be honesty. Mm. I think that people can hear honesty like in every word that you're saying, every melody, every breath. That's what a hit record is, you know, something that makes people feel. And you can only make them really feel it if you're being honest.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And we all know honesty takes vulnerability. And I mean, there's not much more vulnerability than spilling out your words and saying, do you like this beat on top of it? So how do you help other artists access that part of themselves and open up to you? And also, how do you not let that vulnerability consume you? You know, like, how do you put yourself out there?
For me, I see my sessions as therapy sessions. They know when I step into that room, my job isn't to judge you here, whether it's we're talking about getting their heart broken or whether we're talking about the person that they kind of don't fuck with or whether they talk, whatever we're talking about, my job in that moment is to make sure that you have somebody, that you know that you have somebody that's there to listen and let the world relate. Because guess what? If you are feeling it as one person, there's millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of other who are feeling that exact same thing. And that's what great music is supposed to do. It's supposed to bring people together that thought they never had anything in common, but a song could do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true.
So, I mean, in listening to your new album and all of the music that you have worked on, your understanding of chord progression and just like evoking emotion, like you were just saying, I feel is unmatched, obviously. Listening to some of your music, I felt the same feeling, the same way I heard Stevie Wonder for the first time, because it was like,
wow, thank you.
I don't lie. So just
thank God.
True. I wouldn't say anything if I didn't believe that. But I feel like there's something very specific that you do, and you probably know what I'm talking about. I can't put words to it, but can you talk about how that compares to when you're writing your own music and also that thing? What, I don't know what it's called.
That je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's like when it comes to my own music, I have the freedom to really explore all of the different genres and eras that I'm a fan of personally. When I'm going in as a songwriter for another person, the thing that makes me excited about it is it's like trying to hit a bullseye. It has to be this exact same way and you're fitting into one box. And that's really, really fun because you're shape-shifting and you're trying to get an exact thing. It's like a fun game almost. It's the complete opposite when it's my own stuff. It's let's just have fun and let's have freedom and literally just kind of make a gumbo of Ooh. The things that I enjoy. You know what I mean?
Let's go Southern roots. You were like, let's get that gumbo in.
Yeah, I made gumbo this Thanksgiving. I was eating it for like 5 days after that. We made so much.
I'm like, where are you at? Let me get a pot.
Look.
Wait, and also, wait, I saw you tweet about macaroni and cheese. What? Cheddar only?
Here we go.
No. Gotta have
don't
five.
Don't, Taylor, be careful. Okay, be, careful. Right. Be careful. Be careful.
Wait, how many you gotta have, Taylor?
I think you gotta have on some five cheese. Now, it depends on what kind of cheese you got. There's lots of cheeses in the world, but you gotta make sure that they go right. But also, my one big thing about sometimes when people make, I know that I'm gonna get a lot about this, but when people make their macaroni too peppery, and like, it's just like, but too peppery, and I'm just like, no. It's like, cancels out the cheese. Yeah, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
But yeah, my macaroni was fire this year. And you know what I mean? But I'm always open. I'm always open to try some different things.
But speaking of the gumbo and this, you know, recipes that you throw into this sophomore album of yours that we've been waiting so long for, like, girl, when I tell you, I've had it on repeat. We have been bumping. You are clearly a storyteller. What did you want to tackle with this album? And who hurt you? Who was it? Let us know. We don't find them.
Man. Look, it's so interesting because a lot of the times when I'm listening back to my album, I'm like, okay, this is honestly a mixture of two exes, you know, or it's a mixture of this and this experience that just I have different perspectives on. But We Need to Talk really showed the album. My last album showed the story of me being like, you know what? We're going to jump in deep and maybe I'll get hurt for the first time. Who knows? I did. You know what I mean? And that was a thing where I was like, okay, you can't be afraid to fall in love, right? Because then you never actually fall in love. And then you might fall and it can be what you thought was love. And then the next person comes along and then it changes. So I really wanted to show really my coping mechanism for coming out of heartbreak. You know what I mean? And in the beginning of the album, in that moment where I was being like petty and I was just trying to party it all away and anything, I'm the type of person that's like, I can say anything to convince myself, like, all these are the pros and cons of loving you. I'm very much so that type of person. But as analytic as I am, it took me a minute to get over that one. And it really happened with the album.
Legit, when you were like, I hope you're so fucking sad. I was like, let's go.
Yes.
Not holding anything back.
When you get into that moment of finally, I think that we all had that one person that were like, ooh, I want you to say sorry. And then by the time you get it, you're like, you know what? Actually, that was nice for my ego, right? But now we're, I didn't even want it now, you know?
I mean, we all listened to your album and loved it. Hitmaker, we've said that. But Justified, oh, girl.
Oof.
You took us there with that one. It's just too good. I know, Yaz, you had a song you loved too.
Girl, I was playing all of them. I'm telling you, like, sad and just, you captured the essence of like the heart in that experience. You know what I mean? Of like breaking and falling and lifting yourself back up.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We've all been there. And if you haven't been there, you might be there one day. And you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, while we're on the X, I'm wondering, do you want them to hear this? Did you write it? And you're like, oh, you gonna hear this song.
In the beginning, I was more like, okay, because I was like, when they hear this, it's gonna be like, whoa, 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 whoa. But then eventually, like later on, working through the album, I was like, well, okay, I'm just happy that I got it out of my system.
Yeah.
And then it became a thing of like, well, I mean, I hope I don't hurt their feelings anymore. I went from being like sad to being like, well, I don't really care enough to like hurt your feelings or anything like that. It's just I'm just gonna like get my emotions out, and this is a nice little diary.
Yeah, I love that.
A diary for sure.
So from a night out partying described in the song System to struggling to not call up that ex and tell them what you never said and never mind, this album really paints a picture of that painful breakup journey. So what is your coping mechanism in your
besides
life?
Besides writing bangers.
I know that
you Yes, I was like, you know, one of them, right. One of them, of course, is writing and singing for me. Another big one is gardening. I'm growing like 30, 40 different types of plants right now.
Okay,
I'm the type of person like when I like something, I love it. And so I've been going in like it's a whole nother thing. So I've been following Black Girls with Gardens on Instagram, yes. Like trying to be like, oh, I just want to give my garden up so I can be on there.
You and Kira.
And yo, I literally like be on the blogs. Like one time I had my mango tree was going through and I was like, y'all, what's going on? Like it's crazy. I have a whole little thing. Anyways, I'm a nerd when it comes to that.
You got mango trees?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you have a real garden.
The avocado trees. Oh. Broccoli.
Oh, you feed yourself.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly what I'm like really on this like self-sustainable tip right now. So I'm just trying to see in every single way. So I think that that's one big thing that I was able to do. First of all, finish the album, cope with finding other ways to cope with it because then I was stuck in the house. But then also it brought me closer in my current relationship and all of these other things. It was just like a nice moment to just reevaluate. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you are, I would say, genreless. You do it all. You have a lot in you. And as Black female comedians, we know people can be quick to stereotype and try to put you in a box. We rock with Megan Thee Stallion and Nickelback and Randy Travis. You know, we all over the place. And so we're constantly surprising people. Have you ever found yourself battling assumptions of the music industry, maybe defying some expectations of what you can do and can't do?
Definitely. You know, when I first came into the industry as a professional songwriter, you know, I was 20, 21 years old when I first started to have a little bit of success. People would immediately be like, okay, well, you're young, so you're going to write for kids. Or you're Black and you're going to write this particular genre of music, whether it's R&B or hip hop or whatever they felt was that identity. And then it was, oh, you're only going to write for a female artist. And it's all of these things that eventually just made me personally, because it's my personality. I was the kid, when you tell me no, it made me want to do it more.
Yes.
Yeah. So little did they know, they were actually inspiring me. They were right. It's not something that happens often where you have somebody spanning from genre to genre to genre. But where they were wrong is that it's not impossible. I mean, it's not impossible at all. You don't discourage somebody. But in my particular case, it was like, okay, I'm going to make sure that this is a thing that encourages somebody else. And me going through all of these things like a battle warrior. The next young Black girl will be able to find an easy example to say, look, Taylor did that and I can take it even further.
So one thing I wanted to ask you about, I noticed in a lot of your songs, you don't use like gender specific pronouns for, you know, the love interest or the subject of the song. Can you talk a little bit about that and the rationale behind it?
Yeah, I used to do it in the beginning because as a songwriter, I was writing for guys and girls. And I figured if a song is truly great, it won't matter if you're saying him or her. And then in my case, it just naturally transitioned for me because sometimes I'm singing about a girl. Sometimes I'm singing about a guy. So, you know, it's just whatever's that mood, honestly, and whatever that experience is. It just gave me the freedom to, first of all, for me to interpret it however and whenever that point was in my life. also for the artists that I was writing for, sometimes I had guys end up taking songs that were originally for girls or vice versa. For myself, it was just really, really natural because my fans know me as I Want You and You and You Too.
Oh, I've listened to I Want You. It was, you know how Spotify tells you, like, this is one of your most played songs. Girl, when I heard that song, being a bi Black woman as well, I'm just like, this is my life experience. Yes, you know me. And like,
yes.
I just like think about you being a part of the team behind like Dirty Computer and the Internet Special Affair. Like, okay, I'm going to stop. But like, how does it feel to be a bi-con? What is it like?
Yes, bi-con.
What is it like to be part of such major moments in queer Black history?
I think it's just honestly a relief for me to just know that I'm being 100% authentic to myself, you know, and it happens to be something that other people relate to. And so I think in a lot of ways that makes you feel like, okay, boom. So I'm not crazy and I'm not alone, no. You know, and you feel this way too. This is awesome.
I literally was just like, I can't believe the soundtrack to my life.
Yeah, that one was very exciting. I remember you calling me up and being like, there's an anthem. We have an anthem now. Yes, and it was very great. I actually was watching the music video for I Want You today, and it's just so striking. The colors, the movements, it's all very beautiful.
Thank you so much. We definitely have a lot of really, really fun creatives when we're doing like the videos and the visuals, whether it's, you know, still things or music videos, whatever. So I'm definitely lucky to have my crew, Park Studios, and everybody else that we're collaborating with just to get it out there, you know?
So question for you, and I don't know if this is too hard, but which do you prefer more, performing or writing? And are you doing a virtual tour we can come to soon? Please. And that's us asking you to please make it happen.
Yes, I will definitely be doing a virtual tour, which we're putting together right now.
Amazing.
I'm excited about because, you know, you have a lot of really creative ways to kind of just interact with your fans because it's really about approaching it from an outside the box type of way. You know, like what can we play with that we couldn't do when we were all in one room together? Just seeing the bright side of things. And then I think I get two completely different things out of performing and writing. Writing, I'm able to be a chameleon and kind of really, really camouflage and be able to get all of these expressions. Like I couldn't see myself singing High Hopes by Panic at the Disco, but it was really, really fun to be a part of it. And then same thing with like Thank You Next and the Dirty Computer songs. Those are songs that I really couldn't hear anybody else like singing besides those. And then you'd go in even further with the country songs. And so it's all about what is best for that song. You know what I mean? And in order for me to feel like I always have access to do whatever's best for that song, I can't see myself either just performing or just writing. Both of them kind of work hand in hand for me.
That makes me wonder, as a songwriter, like when you're collaborating, because we see like a song like Thank You Next, there are other people's names on it too, but you know, we know you as the face of it outside of Ariana. Like, how does that process work? Do you guys all write your own stuff and then kind of pick what works together? What's that process like?
Every song is different. So sometimes you'll have Ariana, in that case, will send me an idea maybe. And it might have a line or two, or she might just send me a thing like, I want a song that has to do with blank, blank, blank. So every song is different, especially in that case. And then sometimes it's just us going through beats together in the studio, picking it out, and then the song just comes out of a natural conversation. The thing that's a common thread between all of the different songs that I've done is just the strength of collaboration. So nobody's fighting to be like, I did all of this, and nobody's trying to push anybody to the side. It's just really a matter of being like, look, we want to make sure that we're working with honest people. Of course, it always gets complicated when somebody might think that they maybe did more than they did, or somebody maybe think they did less when they actually did more. So it's just about really holding everybody with that same respect, you know, that you would want to be held to.
I saw online that you're a Virgo. I'm a Virgo too.
Okay, Virgo. Okay.
So you already know we act up every time.
This is a Virgo party officially right now.
You know, so oh, I just had to bring that up. You know, Beyonce's a Virgo. I mean, it's so going, so.
Wow, Kara. That's how you want to use our interview time.
Right?
Like, look. I'm just saying, like, I feel like every time a Virgo knows this, and then the Virgo, we like, I see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all all love each other.
Scorpio's in the building. Stand.
No, yes, but you alone. Yes.
Oh, what about you, Ashley?
I'm a Pisces. I'm a Pisces.
Okay. What about you, Mamiya?
Oh, I'm a Virgo. I'm your sister.
No wonder you said that. No wonder you said Virgo party. Boom, boom, boom. Now this also makes sense. I even like you even more, but I like everybody even.
Yes.
I like everybody. If you sound like a mama.
I'm like, I like everybody. Yeah, I ain't got no favorite kids. But.
I'm also curious, what is it like working in the K-pop world?
Ooh, so that was really fun because naturally as a songwriter, I like to jump from genre to genre. And usually you have to jump from artist to artist to do that. But then within K-pop, they like to fuse so many different genres in one song. Yes. And the song will be like 4 minutes long. And so it was really a different format for me. And I really enjoyed it as a songwriter because I was able to flex those muscles of just being able to be like, first of all, they're really, really appreciative of real R&B or like hip hop or just music in general. The artists that I've worked with anyway, you know, like they really appreciate that. I remember probably like my first time ever going out there was like years ago. And now I'm like, wow, I've been back like 4 times now at this point. I learn something new every time, but I admire the fact that they've been doing kind of what US radio and streaming is doing now. And that's not caring about genre, just trying to make great music.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, curious. Who's your favorite musician you've worked with? And if you
have. We asking you a lot of favorites questions.
I know.
Yeah, I'm like, y'all trying to get me. I think probably most recently my favorite musician to work with was probably John Legend. And I say that because trick for you guys, there's a difference between a musician and a pop star. You know what I'm saying? Wow. So we're only going to count the musicians. And that means that you play an instrument. Okay. You know what I mean? And so as far as the musicians go, definitely John Legend was one of them. Out of him and King Princess. Because both just have an interesting take on their genre and on their instrument.
So we're going to jump back a little bit. Back to the Nickelodeon days. Where you first met Ariana Grande. And we're just wondering, now y'all both in the music industry blowing up, how did y'all discuss music back then? Did you know this was coming?
No, not at all, actually. When I think we first had our introduction to each other when she was doing 13 and I was doing Hairspray. And then after that, years later, we would end up like connecting just from doing different things. My best friend growing up, Kiki Palmer, had two jobs in VP.
She's a great Instagram follower, guys.
Yes. She is an incredible person. So we just knew, we ran in all the same circles. So, you know, Kiki knew her and Leon Thomas, who was also on another Nickelodeon show, iCarly, who's also a collaborator of Ariana. We just kind of grew up and evolved with each other. Honestly, it's a very interesting thing because we saw each other, you know, kind of as everybody else saw us, as just child actors. We're just working, we kids. We know that there's another kid who shares a very similar experience because growing up, most kids aren't working at 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. So it's really nice to have those people that understand. And also, I think anytime you grow up with somebody and they've seen how hard you work to get there, it makes it all that much more like just gratifying when you were all sitting at the Grammys together. We're like, hey!
I feel like that's got to be so surreal.
Oh,
yeah, it's much better versus like a stranger who just came on towards the end and they don't know the hard work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, follow-up question. Nickelodeon actors versus Disney actors. Who wins in a fight?
Ooh, it's so hard because let me tell you that a lot of the Disney kids are from Texas, like me. So I'm like the Demis and the Jonas Brothers and Selena, and they're also we've all worked together, you know, on the artist side. But then, dang, I've also worked with the Nickelodeon kids, and this is hard, and this one's filling me up right here.
ain't no mama answers either. You can't say
no everybody wins.
Everyone gets a participation trophy.
Everybody gets a black eye.
Ooh, yeah. Y'all ready to fight.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about hair. Girl, you're doing it all with the hairstyles, and I so appreciate when I see a black girl changing it up, because it's something I've always done, but it took me a while to be able to step into changing my hair so much for an array of reasons. You know, people always got kinds of questions. But, you know, I know, hair is a big deal to you, right? It means a lot.
Yes.
What made you decide to start wearing your hair natural and also to switching it up?
Man, it was time. I like literally woke up one day and realized, I was like, okay, I want to do something new, but I don't want to do too much. But mm-hmm. I came out of doing like green and purple and pink and all of these color hairs, like these little bob wigs, you know? And first of all, I was like, oh, I'm so tired of wigs. I can't do it. I just need a break for a second. Also with the transition of the music, you see that transition with my hair too, because it's really me just evolving as a person. With We Need to Talk phase with the different wigs, I was going to each extreme to the next. And coping mechanism phase is really me saying, okay, I've tried the extremes, and now I'm settling into somewhere in between. And so it's definitely been a journey. Like, and I realized I'd never worn my like just natural hair ever in all of these years. Wow. You know what I mean? Because I was very, it usually started off as being on sets. Trust me, you don't want to have your natural hair out there. Break.
They be coming at you. You're like, no, please.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So in order to protect yourself, it was a protection type of thing at first. But then it's just like, okay, I started to just kind of find out, okay, what kind of oils do I need to be using? What kind of like this do I need to be doing? How do I deal with, you know, my scalp? How do I deal with, because I can be very bad at being a girly girl sometimes. I'm like, oh, I don't want to wrap my hair. I don't want to like do things like that.
Speak on it.
You know, and I'm trying to pull it together. But with my natural hair, at least I'm able to be like, okay, anything where I can like learn something and hop into and dive deep to a subject, I'm like, okay, I'm down.
Curls out here popping. You doing it, girl. You doing it.
Thank you. Because, you know, sometimes with natural hair, you wake up and it's like, this wasn't what we was yesterday.
That's so true.
But now everybody's learning a lot more about hair, and I'm happy to be one of the people to be a part of it, because I'm just trying to be honest about my little adventure that we're just trying to figure it out together.
Right.
So, Taylor, thank you so much for being here today. Before we let you go, one last question. What do you hope listeners get from Coping Mechanism?
Oh.
Besides, you know, something to shake it to.
I really hope that just listeners get something to make them feel a little less alone, honestly. And honestly, just be honest with your emotions. Be thankful for the, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between. Because at the end of that journey, you're always going to come out a kind of new and improved you.
Oh, I so appreciate that. I want to thank you for the space that you create for folks to live their authentic truth and to just feel what they're going through, and to really like the way that you document this experience of being human is just so, so powerful. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you guys for having me. I'm so honored to be a part of this and just have some good little conversations to start the day off.
Can you tell us what we can expect in 2021?
Oof, you can expect for Coping Mechanisms to be doing our virtual tour.
Yes.
You can expect to see a little bit more of me being involved in TV and film.
Okay.
And just more music, more tailor-made music. It's coming.
Yay.
Hey, nice. I love that.
Taylor, I'm going to get you some of my mom's mac and cheese, by the way. I'm going to let you know.
Okay. Okay. We're going to have to do a trade-off. But we got to do it in a fair thing. So we got to do blindfold everybody and be like, which one?
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yes.
This will be a fun game. Whose mac is it? intro, return of the Mac. Oh my God. I got the whole little show in my head.
2021 song.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much for having
Thank
me.
Thank you, Taylor.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Oh, that was so fun. Y'all, if you aren't listening to Coping Mechanisms, you best to get to it. But it is time for us to give some advice. And it looks like a little family drama took place over the holidays. So y'all are going to want to hear this one. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. Y'all got questions, and we maybe have some answers. It's time for us to give some advice. Mamiya, what you got for us?
All right. Dear OOD, I'm having family issues, and I don't know what to do or if I should even do anything at all. I'm 32, and I think I finally met the love of my life, but my family hates him. My family is very old Southern Baptist, and he's bluish, black, and Jewish, and has no desire to convert. I love him for who he is, but they always give me a hard time about it. Over the holiday, my mom asked me if I was willing to let my future children burn in hell for this man.
Mama is dramatic. Oh, no.
She even told him to his face that she was praying for his soul, but she didn't think it was going to end well for him.
Oh, what?
It sucks because I'm close to my family, but this is just out of control. A holiday dinner without my family seems bleak, but it is also not fair to my man to have to deal with them. What do you all think I should do? Signed, I don't want my babies to burn. Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
It's always hard when your love don't get along with your family. Mm. And you shouldn't have to choose.
You really shouldn't. I think, you know, we just got to create some boundaries. I don't want my babies to burn.
And I also, can we abbreviate it or something? IDWMB2TV? Yes. That's too much, but I can't hear it again.
Let's just call her IMDb.
IMDb? But no, I feel you. Like, you are in a good, healthy relationship and his faith doesn't bother you. So that is what matters. And I think, you know, you love your family, but they got to show some respect because that's, you know, your man. I mean, it's hard to tell your mama what to do. Let me tell you that right now. She probably won't listen. But I think just having a conversation like, hey, I get that you aren't on the same page with what we're doing or what we believe, but this is where I'm at. And if you want us in your life and you want to see your future grandkids, then you got to treat us right.
And I think this is like a unique opportunity for you to create new traditions, you know? If your family doesn't come around, that's so unfortunate for them, but this is your life that you get to craft. And so this is an exciting time for you guys to merge both of your faiths, or if that even is your faith, you know, like there's room to create new traditions.
New traditions can be great, but it is hard to lose your family if that's what might happen. So I would really just try to journal and figure out, is this something that you really are willing to lose your family over? And is your family's love something you're willing to lose the love of your life over? Because it's a possibility that one of those things happen and you don't want to be resentful to nobody. So just make sure you really know where you're sitting and what decision you're about to make, because new traditions are great, but family is important.
Yeah, I think you need to talk to your family. I know you've tried, but like, I feel like when you make a situation like, all right, we're sitting down to talk because there's an issue fundamentally and we need to talk, that lets people know, like, this isn't just an off-the-cuff conversation about how we feel. This is like our life and the future of our family. And like, I want you to be a part of our lives, but you also call yourself a Christian and are damning somebody else. That point needs to be brought up to your mother. And I think after a conversation like that, you will be able to gauge if they can put their pride down to get past the religious aspect and realize their daughter loves somebody and they should support that.
Right. This is a thing that many people go through, right? Of like trying to navigate their family's relationship to religion and their own life. And at some mm-hmm. point, you really do have to figure out what that balance is for you so that you don't go crazy trying to, you know, live a life for someone else.
Or live two or three lives for multiple different people.
And if we didn't help, I don't want my babies to burn. It's hard for me to even say it. If we didn't help, talk to somebody that's licensed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it makes you feel any better, I don't think your babies will burn.
They won't.
Well, what do you know, Kira? You gonna burn too?
Oh, no. Nobody is going to be on fire here. There's just
nobody's
love.
Burning. This is a Hansel and Gretel. No kids are going into the oven.
Oh, no. Okay, this took a turn. We hope that helped.
Yes, we hope that helps. And we hope that y'all enjoyed this conversation with Taylor Parks. It was so dope getting to talk to her about her creative process mm-hmm. and about what it takes to be a hit maker, y'all.
Yes.
As always, we appreciate y'all tuning in. Please remember to subscribe. If you want to show us some love, you can also rate and review the podcast. That would be what's up.
Yes, yes, yes. Please rate and review. And come kiki with us on social media at Obama's Other Daughters on Instagram, at OOD Improv on Twitter, and on Facebook at Obama's Other Daughters. Also, if y'all want to tag us, don't forget to do that.
And if you need some advice or you know someone who does, please send us your letters because we are unlicensed but love to give advice. Mm-hmm. You can do that at oodpodcast@gmail.com. Look, we helped. I don't want my babies to burn.
I think we helped.
Yo, we can't wait to see you guys next week. We'll miss you in the 6 days till the next episode. Bye.
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 You Down is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Y'all know technically we aren't seeing them next week. We just let them hear us. So what do we say instead of see?
Feel
speak
the energy.
To we next week.
We'll enter your eardrums next week.
Leave it at see. Leave it at see.